In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Circumcision is weird at best. Awkward to be sure, painful and embarrassing at worst, especially if you're not circumcised until you're 99 years old, as Abraham was. Back in the garden, God had promised an offspring, a seed, to Adam and Eve, who would deliver them from sin, crushing the head of the serpent. Then, several generations after God wrapped Adam's nakedness in the skin of a freshly killed animal, he pulled back the loincloth again to mark the promise of the coming offspring. Having promised to Abram in Genesis 12 that he would make him a great nation, having intensified this promise again three chapters later that your own son will be your heir, and your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the heavens, the Lord wanted to confirm that he was faithful to his promises. But time wore on, and Abram and Sarai had no children. So they figured perhaps that divine promises need a little human intervention to help them along. So Sarai gave Abram her servant girl, Hagar, that he might have a son of his own, even if he would not be Sarah's. So Hagar conceived and bore Abram a son, Ishmael. But just any son was not what the Lord had promised. His word needs no human cooperation to come to completion. So the Lord appeared a third time to Abram. The Ishmael plan was a failure. Instead, God reaffirmed his promise to make Abram the father of many nations and changed his name from Abram, great father, to Abraham, father of many. Then the Lord gave newly renamed Abraham the sign of this eternal covenant with him. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you forever. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. That is, admittedly, a little odd. To circumcise is literally to cut around, removing the foreskin. God cuts his covenant into Abraham's flesh, and not just any flesh, but the flesh of his reproductive organ. From then onward, every Jewish male was to be circumcised on the eighth day of his life. If a male is unwilling to submit to the cutting around as a sign of the covenant, he is to be cut off from the people of God. The circumcised man is less than the intact man. God has a piece of human flesh removed. It's as if he enters the bedroom around this private act of procreation to mark it with a sign, reminding Abraham of his undying promise. And God finally made good on his promise to give Abraham and Sarah a son. And then, when Isaac was 8 days old, they circumcised him too, as a reminder that there's still something about procreation that God is using to fulfill his promise way back in the Garden of Eden to bring an offspring, to save his people from their sinful rebellion and to crush the serpent's head forever. Every procreative act from then onward was a reminder of this promise. The man's private part is marked with the sacred sign of the covenant, a reminder of the work of God to accomplish what man cannot. Circumcision is a call to give up your do-it-yourself salvation plans, your half-pious attempts to meet God halfway. You cannot save yourself any more than Abraham can make Ishmael the son of the promise. The circumcision of Christ, though, was indeed different. from the old Jewish circumcision, because this circumcision of our dear Lord Jesus Christ began his office, fulfilling what the angel had proclaimed, namely, that he is the Savior, Christ the Lord, and the true light that lightens the world, not only for Jews and the narrow confines of their land, but also for Gentiles throughout the world. This is the ministry he began by this first action, being circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. So here, so to speak, Christ grabs the law, and by his circumcision, he not only abolishes the old circumcision, but the entire ceremonial law he undoes. Circumcision, like the law itself, was given for those conceived and born in sin, people like you, and therefore deserving of eternal death. But neither the law nor circumcision, however, can make any demands on Christ. He was totally sinless. He is the Lord of the law, the one who instituted circumcision as the sign by which Jewish boys would be made children of God. The fact that he was, nevertheless, circumcised like any other sinful child who needs to be grafted into the people of God means that in his case, the law overreached itself, and Christ silences the law and takes away its power. He could, of course, done this with his divine power and might as Lord of the law, and none would have dared to contradict him. But instead, he did it all for you out of love and in humility, that you might take it to heart for comfort. He had no need of circumcision, as little need as he had to obey his mother, or to have a mother, or to die on the cross. He had both right and authority not to be subjected to the law. And he did it for your sakes. This is why, beloved, he has flesh. We needed a sinless one to keep the law in our stead and thus appease the wrath of God. Otherwise, we would be under the curse of the law forever. That's why Christ put himself under the law, under his own law. And with his merit and work, he earned freedom for us under the law. As St. Paul says in Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." The fact that he placed himself under the law was not done for his sake, for he satisfied all righteousness and holiness required of the law without any such obedience. But he came under the law for our sakes. And the victory and the righteousness he attained there was granted to us, as he states, "Whoever believes in me, him will neither circumcision nor law bind any longer. For though I was not beholden to them, nonetheless I subjected myself under their demands and satisfied them for you. And by so doing, both circumcision and the law have become subject to me, their Lord, who has exhausted their power. Therefore, he promises you, whoever clings to me in faith, I will assist in being made free, both from the law and circumcision's burden, so that he will never come under judgment." So mark this difference well. Everything depends on it. Abraham came under the law as a sinner. The infant Jesus, as Lord of the law, who takes away the law's authority and power, yes, tears the law to pieces so that it can no longer ensnare and condemn those who believe in him, comes under the law in order to be Lord of the law. Circumcised on the eighth day, Christ put himself under the law to redeem you who were under the law. And because he has freed you from the law, you are also delivered from sin and death. For where there is redemption from the law, there is also deliverance from sin and death, as St. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15. The law cannot save. It can only condemn. Circumcision and outward observances can do nothing to affect the inward keeping of the law. The law is a bitter and harsh master. The commandments are not friendly toward your flesh, as circumcision clearly indicates. But Christ, the circumcised God, preaches a better sermon. I have subjected myself to the law on your behalf and redeemed you from its curse. His infant body then, at 8 days old, begins to feel the cross for you, begins to bleed for you. He has bled, so you need not. He has endured the wrath of God so that you will not. He has obeyed the law because you could not. He died, so you will not. All this is the reason for our celebration on this feast of the Lord's circumcision. Therefore, when the devil plagues you, distressing your conscience and frightening you with the enormity of your sin, you say to him, "With my circumcision, my keeping of the law, my diligent obedience to God and His commandments, I accomplish nothing. But my Lord Christ's innocence, that accomplishes everything. I defy the law which rebukes Him, for the Father has spoken of Him from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. If you trust in your own piety, your own righteousness, your own goodness, you will be overwhelmed with despair. But you may rely completely on the goodness, the piety, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, whose obedience to the law is perfect, and who covers you with His own righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. The new means by which infants and 99-year-old men and all in between, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, everyone is made a child of the kingdom of God in the waters of holy baptism. An heir to this promise, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Clothed in Christ's perfect fulfillment, adorned with His righteousness as your daily baptismal dress, you can then also begin to love God and your neighbor rightly. Where you still lack and fail, and you will, you have in Christ, as it were, an umbrella who shades you with His fulfillment of the law and shields you from the wrath of God for your own disobedience. Because you have Christ, you can do what needs to be done. You can love God, you can love your neighbor. And when you fail and fail, under Christ, you are always covered, innocent and pure. This then is how a Christian's righteousness becomes whole and remains pure, namely, that we confess we are poor sinners who can never fully satisfy the law, but then do not despair. For Christ has put Himself under the law for your sake and fulfilled it completely. Obedience follows. And you say, when God has done so much for me, giving me His dear Son, should I not turn heartily in love toward Him and diligently do what He expects of me? And that is how a man becomes truly happy, a friend of God and his neighbor. He will then pursue that righteousness with which he has been clothed in Christ, the real keeping of the law, not forced, but willing. Though our keeping of the law is never perfect, all our fleshly sinning is swallowed up in Christ. His obedience to the law is your obedience to the law. His infant blood shed is still for you, and He shields you with His perfect righteousness, makes you sons of God with whom the Father is well pleased in the waters of holy baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.